You know, I don't know why I'm always blown away by when God moves the way he does, but I am. I'm always blown away by the fact that we come in here with our ideas of the direction that we think we're going, of the place we think we're going to end up at, and God has the ability just to turn us about face, to give us new plans, to set up a new destination. This morning, I don't know why you came this morning, and I'm glad you're here, but I don't know what your purpose of your heart was when you woke up and when you got in your car, when you walked in those doors. But again, I would just share with you one last time before I move forward. God's purpose this morning is to restore, redeem, and refresh your heart. It's to have you leave here different than how you came in. So I'd ask you to receive that. In whatever form that may present itself, receive it today. So, this morning, we're going to conclude our reading from Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 20. And really, it's the second half of the shepherd story that we started talking about last week. So if you're trying to find Luke chapter 2, but you look down and you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. And we'll get those in your hands pretty quickly if you need one. Anybody? Okay, well, I heard some pages turning, so that's a good thing. But but while you're finding your place, let me ask you something. Who here has all your Christmas shopping done? Yeah? Who here today still has some shopping to do? Who here just now realized you need to do shopping? You got a few different people, right? It is such an incredibly busy time, isn't it? I don't know about you guys, and maybe you have a nice, great planner. I've got a calendar. And this time of year, I tell you what, I really wish I had bigger squares on my calendar, you know, because I just can't fit what I need to fit into that little bitty square. But I do kind of wonder, and this morning it was drawn back to me again, I wonder if I did have a bigger square on my calendar, what would I fill it with? It's the same kind of stuff I already fill that little one with. What would I fill that square with? You know, this morning, we're going to look at, like I said, the shepherd story, the second half of it, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. And we're going to return once again to that miraculous night. Over 2,000 years ago, that night in Bethlehem. Last week, we learned some I think, very key qualities about the shepherds. We learned some truths about who they were that made these outcasts of society, and really that's what they were, but there's some truth about them that made these outcasts of society into God's perfect choice for us to emulate today. We learned last week that the shepherds had been attentive. If you recall, that meant that shepherding, because it was a 24/7 kind of job, it required that they were constantly paying attention and constantly being aware of their surroundings and what was going on. And today, our lives require the same thing. And God is looking for men and women who will be attentive to the places, to the people, to the relationships that he places around you. He wants you to realize you're there. He doesn't want to waste time. We should not waste time. We should be attentive to where God has us. And even when we look at those places and we think, God, there's nothing you could possibly do here, we should accept that God has a plan for me to be here today. We learned last week that one of the important aspects of these shepherds is that they were awed. Somebody says, so Tim, I got that one covered. I'm awfully awed myself. But as I said, it wasn't ODD awed. It was, they were awed. They found themselves that night awed, blown away by the glory and the majesty and the power of God. I think last week, that's probably what I took home with me the most, was my need to be blown away by God on a regular basis, not just once a year, not just once a week. I need my heart to just be amazed at who my God is on a daily basis. And we concluded last week by discussing that the shepherds, they were willing to accept the word of God personally. They didn't send another group of shepherds to check it out. They accepted it personally, on their own. But this week, they still have a few things left to teach us. So once again, back to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Back to that night that changed the course of human history forever. Changed everything about us. The trajectory of mankind was to a destination known as hell. And on Christmas morning, on that night, the night that the Lord Jesus was born into this world, it changed the course of human history forever. Gave us hope the night that the Lord Jesus was born. So I hope you found your place. Luke chapter 2. I'm going to backtrack for just a moment to verse 8. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The shepherd's story. You know, verses 13 and 14, if you go back there for a moment, how amazing was it? How just miraculous was it that God sent these heavenly messengers to herald the most amazing news the world would ever receive? This was the biggest front page headline on any newspaper, on any planet, anywhere. It's the biggest news the world would ever know. And yet God sent this incredible angelic host. It says, and all of a sudden they showed up and they were saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." Solely by the providence of God, for His glory, God had sent the announcement that peace was once again available to mankind. Peace. Peace that had been lost thousands of years ago in the Garden of Eden. Peace. Something that sinful man had lacked since the fall. See, since the fall, man and God separated by our sin. No peace. In truth, open conflict. No peace with God outside of Jesus Christ. So these angelic hosts, they come down and they give this message that once again, God is willing to make peace with mankind. God had effectively launched the greatest rescue mission the world would ever know. And He launched it to save His very own rebellious creation. You and me. This incredible news that the angels, not just the angels, okay, it was a company of angels, which means, really, that the wording means these were God's warrior angels. Okay? These were awesome angels. And this news that these extraordinary angels had descended to earth to give to man that night, God chose to share it with very, very ordinary shepherds. But once again, as we shall see this week, God chose the right men that night. He chose men not by the way that the society saw them. He wasn't interested in what their neighbors thought about them. He looked right into their hearts. And God chose the right men that night to teach us something this morning. So after this incredible scene that unfolds in verses 13 and 14, we read in beginning in verse 15, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another," wow, that was really something. Hey, can you turn Sports Center back on so I can see the score of the game? Is that what it says? Maybe you have a different translation. Perhaps, I'm sorry, let me get the other translation. "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said, 'Wow, that was awesome. Hey, can you check Facebook and see what my friend's doing over in Jerusalem?'" No, actually, the one shepherd, after the angels departed, he said, "Well, that was kind of different. Oh, well, hey, anybody here hungry for some McDonald's?" They didn't do that, did they? They didn't do that, but, and as silly as that seems, how often though do you and I come face to face with the undeniable and supernatural hand of God at work, and then we just go about life as if nothing ever happened? You've seen it. I know you have. You've seen it in your life. And yet, we turn SportsCenter back on. We allow our mind just to get taken back away by the internet. We start to shovel food in our mouths. Whatever it is, we just return to life as normal. Anybody ever have that happen to you? God shows up in an amazing way and you're absolutely certain that He's accomplishing something that nobody else on earth can accomplish. And then you just go back to life as normal. The truth is, you haven't had that happen. The truth is, none of you have had that happen. All right? The simple answer is that never happens. See, we say things like, God is in control. Lord, your will be done. It's all in God's plan. You hear that all the time, right? You go to any Christian home, you're going to hear those things all the time. But we don't really believe that. See, we don't really believe that the God, the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is actually got Tim's life in His hands. And He's actually molding it and shaping it and giving it direction. We don't believe that. Because if we really believed that God's hand was at work in our lives, I'm not talking about from a distance. I'm talking about if we truly believe that God has a personal interest in Regina's life. If you really believe that, then your response would be the exact same response as what the shepherds did. You would do what they did, which was simply they responded. Verses 15 and 16 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. Okay, the Greek tense and all this meant, hey, they were excited. Okay, they wanted to get on the road. They were interested. They wanted to respond to what God had showed them. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. The shepherds got it. The shepherds saw the hand of God in their life. They saw it and they believed it and they responded to it. When you and I can just slip back into normal life, it's not that God isn't doing something, it's that we don't believe it's Him. We don't. So they immediately went to see this thing that had happened, which the Lord had told them about. After seeing God's work, what was their response? They went and they shared the good news that they had been given. They shared it with others. Verse 17 says, when they had seen Him, they went to spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They spread the word. Okay, again, maybe you didn't realize this, but did anybody catch up on the fact that God actually planted these preachers out in the field? Did you see that happen a few verses ago? See, what God did was that night He went and He took these professional preachers and He planted them out in the field in place of these regular, common, ordinary shepherds. Okay? Because when it came time to share the gospel and the word of God, He had to make sure He put this in the hand of professionals. Okay? So I don't know if you saw it or not, but if you go back a few verses, you'll see it. God came down and He put a preacher in place of the shepherd. You saw that, right? Yeah, hopefully you didn't, because it wasn't in there. All right? It didn't say that. What it does say is that when it was time to spread the word, these shepherds responded to the call. These average, ordinary, everyday, plain Jane, common Joe shepherds spread the word of God. They were excited about it. So they told people about it. And I'm amazed at the fact that it doesn't say that they spread the word about this incredible angelic host that had just appeared to them. They spread the good news about who Jesus Christ was. They got it. They figured it out. Once again, their response, to me, it calls into question my own belief. Do I really believe what I say and what I talk about? You know, on a certain level, I think that probably everybody in this room believes that God blesses you. On a certain level. I think, you know, that's probably a safe thing to say. On a certain level, I think that Everybody in this room probably believes that God causes good things to happen in your life. God loves me. Yeah, He probably causes some of this stuff to happen. On a certain level, I think probably most people in this room believe that if you're good enough for long enough, God might even let you into heaven. On a certain level. But that kind of superficial belief will never prompt the kind of response you see from the shepherds. It won't do it. You just go back to life as normal. Instead, though, if we shared the kind of belief they had that night, if we truly believed, I mean, not like a storybook, I'm talking about if you really believe that God came down from the throne of heaven and put upon flesh that night, if you really believe that, if you truly believe in the deepest part of your heart that He walked on this planet with people just like you and me for 33 years before being crucified in my place. If you really believe that, if you truly believe today that the only forgiveness of your sins come from the spilled blood of Jesus Christ, if you really believe that, if you believe that today it is by God's grace alone, God's grace alone, that you have been redeemed from an eternity in hell. If that's what you really believe, guess what? I'm going to tell you the response. Every one of these doors would blow open because you guys couldn't get out there and share the good news fast enough. I couldn't stop you. You know? I mean, it would just be boom, gone. Where'd they go? I don't know. You know, but they're out there sharing the good news. If we really believed, there would be no person on this planet, no circumstance, no reason that could stop you. If you really believed. The shepherd's story concludes in verse 20. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Again, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God. In this verse, there's something incredibly important here because this just gives us that final look at who these men are. Hopefully a final consideration about who God calls us to be. The shepherds, guess what they finished the story doing? They rejoiced. They praised God. They gave glory to God. Having experienced the glory of God, having heard the good news, having seen the Messiah, and having shared their belief with others, they went back to work praising God and rejoicing. Many of you today can say those same things. I hope you can. I hope today that you have experienced the glory of God. I hope that even this morning you have heard the good news. I hope that as we've ministered to and with each other, that you have seen the promises of the Messiah fulfilled in people's lives. I hope that you get the chance to share your belief with others. And when those things happen in your life, I hope that with every step you take and with every beat of your heart, you're rejoicing and you're praising Him. What an incredible night that was. Can you even imagine? What an incredible night that must have been. 2,000 years later, we are still celebrating the night that our Lord Jesus was born. 2,000 years plus later, we're still celebrating. But let me ask you this important question, because this will let you know where your heart is. Perhaps this year you're celebrating Christmas, but are you rejoicing? Are you finding joy? Do you find yourself praising God? Luke chapter 2, the shepherd's story, that's history. But let me ask you something. Is it your story today? Is a shepherd's story line up with your life? Do you find yourself like they were, being attentive? Do you find yourself accepting the Word of God personally? Do you find yourself responding to the Word of God? Do you find yourself rejoicing? It's his story. It's his story, yes. But is it yours? I don't know how many of you are familiar with her, but Corrie Ten Boom was a Jewish sympathizer during the Nazi reign in Germany. And she committed her life to hiding Jews from the Nazis, saved hundreds and hundreds of Jewish people. Incredible story. But she said one time, she said, if Jesus was born 1,000 times in Bethlehem, but never in me, I would still be lost. You hear me this morning? All the nativities in the world aren't going to save you. If Jesus could have been born 1,000 times over, and we've celebrated it for the last 2,000 years, but if he's never been born in your heart, it's worthless. You're still completely lost. Will you please stand with me this morning? You know, one of the sincerest ways that we can consider and review our own hearts is to really listen to what comes out of them. And I'm probably going to say this wrong, but I heard it said this last week, that we have a tendency to worship our work, to work at our play, but then only to play at our worship. That tends to be how we operate. This morning, I hope that you've come to a place. I hope that God has brought you, that God has shaped, that God has molded your heart this morning in such a way that as you leave this place, I hope you're challenged. I hope you have some questions in your life to answer. But I hope you rejoice. I hope that as you answer those questions, your heart bursts forth. I hope that like the shepherds, you just want me to be quiet so you can get out these doors and spread the good news. I hope that's where you are today. God chose a bunch of ordinary people because guess what? This morning, that's who I'm talking to, is a bunch of ordinary people. But God is going to accomplish extraordinary things for those who will respond. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And we're also going to close with a time to rejoice. Too often, Christians walk out of this place heads held down with no joy in sight. Not today. After we pray today, I would challenge you, if maybe earlier you were struggling to find a reason to praise, I hope that in this message you found a reason. I hope that in the ministry that's occurred today, you found a reason. All right, I can tell you, as I said before, the reason for the season this year, every year, is Jesus Christ. But the purpose of his plan is you. You. Do you believe that today? Because I tell you, if you find yourself truly believing that, you will be amazed at the difference in your life. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we lift up your name. I lift up your name above all other names. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that you chose to step down from your eternal glory, from your eternal throne. You chose to step away from millions and millions of angels meeting your every need and singing your praises every day. And instead, you chose to step into a dirty, smelly, stinking manger. Father, I thank you for leaving heaven and coming to earth. Jesus, I thank you that you chose to put upon flesh. And all of these things, the incredible miracle of Christmas, you did these things for me. You did these things so that I may find peace with your Father in heaven. Lord, there is no words to express my gratitude to you. But Father, I pray now that you will make my heart able to rejoice in the truth that you've shared with us today. God, I pray this morning for that individual that perhaps this is still just a story. Perhaps today, the realization in their heart is that they really don't believe that. Father, I pray for that heart today. Lord, my heart suffers from the same thing from time to time. Father, we need you to shape us and to form us, to make us ever more and more like your Son. Lord, again, we thank you. And this morning, we ask that you will look down upon your people. Father, that you that your throne room will be filled with the incense of praise. As we not only celebrate, but as we rejoice what happened 2,000 years ago on Christmas morning. Pray all these things in the name of your Son.